Good morning. My name is Allie McBain, and I'm a member here at NAPC. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. You can find this on the back of the bulletin or on page 846 in the ESVP Bible. Hear now God's word. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. So about a little over a year and a half ago, I got to do one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. I got to ask my best friend, Jessica, to marry me, and I put together this simple, but I knew it was going to be meaningful for us, plan. And what it was right behind her condo, there is a path with this park in the middle of the woods that we walked many times. And on the path, I was going to have these signs, and on the signs were going to be written memories or significant moments of our relationship. So I was going to have her walk through our dating relationship again, and she would come to the dock, this dock that we had sat on countless times and had many conversations, and come to this specific bench that we always sit on, and she would sit down, and I would get up and get on my knees, and I would pull out a basin of water, and I would tell her how much I love her and how I want to serve her for the rest of our lives, and I would wash her feet to show her this. So the day came, and it was going better than perfect. Like, she's walking, she sees the first sign, instant tears. The girl is crying, it's going well. Random people are like cheering behind her and following her. There was one guy that's jogging and sees her and goes, "These signs for you?" And she was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "You better say yes." So like, it's going great. It couldn't have been going better. She gets to the dock. She sits down in the chair. I get up and I get on my knees and I pull the water basin out, and I'll never forget what she said to me next. She looked at me and she said, "I'm sorry, I'm wearing tights under my dress. You're not going to be able to wash my feet." So that didn't exactly work how I wanted it to, but spoiler alert, she did say yes, so it all worked out fine. Today, we are actually going to look at a successful foot washing in our series, Behold the Man, where we are going through the Gospel according to John, verse by verse. And today, we get to one of the more curious things Jesus does, where he washes his disciples' feet. Today, we're going to see why this act was so profound and offensive, humiliating, and beautiful. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray as we dive into your word that you are glorified above all. Pray if there's anything that you want to communicate that I have not prepared, I pray that you bring it to me and that your Holy Spirit works in our heart today as we dive into your holy word. We thank you for the example that you set in this passage, and I pray that at the end of this, we all are challenged to go and serve in this way. In your name we pray. Amen. So this text, this account, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And before we dive into it, I want to go to the end, one of the last few verses, which I think summarizes the entire message, and I want to give that to you first. Verse 15, it says, "For I have given you an example, that you should also do just as I have done to you." So what we are about to see is an example of Jesus' servanthood and how this shows his servant heart for us, but also the heart that we must have for each other and for others. So before we dive in, let's set the scene really quick. This is the Passover. This is a celebration that the Jews are all having. This is Christmas. They are all excited and in a good mood. But this is also the last dinner that Jesus will share with his disciples before he is crucified. They're celebrating now, but in a few hours, they will be mourning. And they're celebrating, like I said, the Passover, where they were freed from Egyptian slavery, when the angel of death passed over their houses. So it's this scene that we enter in today. Verse 1 begins, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." So the disciples know, according to the Jewish calendar, the human calendar, that it's Passover. Jesus knows, according to the divine calendar, that it's his hour. Now, whenever it says his hour, just to be clear, he is talking of when he is going to be crucified for sinners, when he is going to go to the cross for the forgiveness of sin, where he does the single greatest act the world has ever seen. And here we see the motivation for serving. It's love. It says he loved them to the end. This is not just a statement of time, but of completeness. Yes, he loved them till the end of his life, but he loved them fully. This shows to serve people the way that Jesus will later in this text call us to serve. We must be motivated by love, not by accolades or fame or money, recognition, success, our kids, opportunity. We need to be motivated by love. Our motivation, our fuel when we serve needs to be love, or we will not be living and serving the way that Jesus has called us to live and serve. And then we get into this story that is both dramatic and disturbing. Let's read verses 2-5. "During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him." So the disciples have entered this room. It's called the upper room. And the reason it's called that is just because they're in this house and it's not on the first floor, is the room. So they are in the upper room. And after their travels in this time, they would have had dirty, disgusting, dusty feet. They would have needed them washed. There were no Nikes in this time. They only had open-toed shoes or bare feet. In this time, basic hospitality, you would have a very lowly person or servant in the house wash your guests' feet. But in this room, there are no servants. So who will wash the feet that need it so badly? Let me tell you with 100% certainty, the disciples would have never washed each other's feet. Actually, in another gospel account, Luke chapter 22, we see the disciples going to the upper room, and before they get there, they're arguing. And not just arguing about anything, they're arguing about who's the best. They're like, who's the greatest? No, it's me. John's sitting there and he's like, I'm the greatest. I'm the one that Jesus loved. Peter's like, I walked on water, man. I'm the greatest. And they are arguing over who is the best. What an ironic question to ask in the presence of Jesus. Who's the best? What Jesus is about to show us is that prominence does not equal significance. Jesus demonstrates that just because you are in the front of the line does not mean you are the most important person in the line. Jesus knows who he is. He knows his position in the universe. He has confidence in God's divine and sovereign plan. These two verses are striking. It mentions that Jesus knows who he is. He knows that he's from God. He knows he's going back to God. He knows he is God. With that knowledge and power, he could have commanded anything he wanted. He could have been like, no, Peter, I'm better than you. Get on your knees and wash my feet. You're not the greatest. Get on your knees. Do this. And he would have been in right to do it. He's Jesus. He's the God of the universe. But instead, he gets up quietly and without saying a word, he takes his outer garments off and he gets on his knees and he grabs feet. He grabs dirty, dusty feet and he washes them. This shows us and it mirrors how he came into the world and how he's going to leave the world in his death. We see this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, how this is mirrored. It says, who, though he, Jesus, was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He was God. He had everything, but he emptied himself. And he got on his knees and he took the form of a servant. And he came to this world, and it continues, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus shows us through his coming and emptying of himself, through his death on the cross, through washing the disciples' feet, that the Christian life is not marked by prominence, but it is marked by significance. So I ask, what's more important to you? Serving others like Christ, or prominence. Another thing that adds to this drama, we see it in verse 2. Judas was not born again. Satan already is in his heart. Satan already has his playground in Judas' heart. At some point during this meal, Judas will leave to go betray Jesus. During these events, Judas already has it in his heart to do this. Verse 11, it says Jesus knew who was going to do it. In next week's text, verse 18, Jesus says, I'm not talking to all of you. Not all of you are clean. So when we look all over this, we can know that Judas was in the room when he washed their feet. And so Jesus is showing us that we don't get to decide who deserves our service. He knew what was about to happen, and he washed Judas' feet. Would you have washed Judas' feet? Are there people in your life that you won't serve or love, step out of your comfort zone for, sit and talk with? Jesus washes the feet of a man who he knows in a few hours will betray him with a kiss that will lead to hours of brutal torture and then lead to Jesus' crucifixion on a cross. Yet Jesus washes Judas' feet. Would you have done it? Because I don't know that I would have. But this is exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. Students, that kid at school who no one really likes and no one talks with that is just different, are you willing to sit with them and talk with them? That person in our neighborhood that we kind of avoid, we hope doesn't talk to us, that person at work that no one wants to talk to because she's mean or he's manipulative, they're a gossip, why would I talk to them? No one else does. I just want to avoid them. It makes life a lot easier. They make it a lot harder for me. Jesus is calling us to serve and to love them. This is also disturbing. Up until this point, the disciples aren't saying anything. Nobody's speaking up. Can you imagine the scene? Jesus is on his knees, the person that they follow, they think so highly of, and he's on his knees washing their gross and grimy feet. I'm sure they're shooting looks at each other. Are you seeing this? Are you going to say something? No? I'm not going to say anything. Someone has to say something, right? Well, never fear. Peter's going to say something. If we know anything about Peter, Peter's going to speak up and he's going to tell Jesus what he should and shouldn't do. The humiliation has gone on long enough. I'm sure the disciples aren't only embarrassed for themselves, but they're probably embarrassed on behalf of Jesus. Peter gives us a glimpse into this disturbing act. He says in verse 6, Lord, "Do you wash my feet? Jesus, what the heck are you doing? I know you possibly can't be doing this. Why would you, my Lord, wash my dirty, disgusting feet? This can't happen." Jesus answers, verse 7, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand." Peter, you got to trust me. You may not get it now, but you will. I just need you to trust me. And instead of listening to his Lord's plea for trust, Peter gets more belligerent. In verse 8, he says, "You shall never wash my feet. Jesus, you don't understand. You should not be doing this disgusting act. I won't let you." Isn't it a little ironic Peter begins the argument with the word Lord, saying, "Jesus, you're Lord. You can do whatever you want. But there is a line, like, you're too good for this." I wonder if somewhere in Peter's heart he also thought he was too good for this. That he's too good to be humble and let Jesus serve him. But we're going to see through Jesus' response that serving is at the very heart of the gospel. Verse 8 continues, Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." You see the change? We're not just talking about feet anymore. We are now talking about salvation. If Jesus does not wash us, if we do not humble ourselves and allow Jesus' humiliation to be our salvation, then we have no share with him. We must humble ourselves and allow Jesus to serve us in this way, because service is at the heart of the gospel, and it's motivated by love. Without the servanthood of Jesus, there is no gospel. Jesus' service to his people is the good news. That he loved us enough to come to earth as a man, to be beaten, humiliated, and scorned, taking our shame, making us right with the Father. And then Peter starts to sort of understand it. And he's like, "Okay, great. You want to wash my feet?" He says, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus, like, if you got to wash my feet, give me the whole bath. I want the whole spa treatment. I need clean from top to bottom." But then Jesus gives a really good news response to us. Verse 10, he says, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean." The good news is once Jesus has saved you, you don't need any more saving. You are saved now and always. There's no level 2 Christian. There's no level 20 Christian. The question, "Are you a Christian?" The answer is not, "Well, I'm trying," or "I'm working on it." It's either yes or it's no. You're either covered by the blood of Christ or you're not. And while we may be completely saved now and always, there is a daily call to repentance here. Our feet are dirty. We walk in sin constantly. We stumble along the path daily, so we need to be in constant daily repentance for our sin. And this takes humility that Peter is not showing. Humility that I know I struggle with, and I know many of us struggle with. To not only go before others and say, "I'm sorry," but to go before the God of the universe, to repent regularly for the sins we commit. This is what it means to be a Christian, to be humble enough to hit our knees and repent for our sin, accept Jesus' service to us, and to then show that service to others. And if Jesus is willing to serve those who are not clean, those who would betray him, then there isn't a person we should not be willing to serve. The narrative continues, verse 13 through 15. Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." Jesus reiterates that the disciples call him teacher and Lord. This double title signifies his claim over their lives. And yet, even though he has these titles, he is willing to bend down and wash their feet. Jesus is our ultimate example of what it looks like to serve. And then he gives a command. after doing this deed, after teaching what it means, he tells his disciples and is telling us we ought to do the same for others. As a church, we must be a community of foot washers. Now, no, I don't believe that Jesus is giving us a secret third sacrament that we've been forgetting all these years, baptism, communion, and foot washing, and we've just been missing it. This was a need in this time. Like I mentioned before, people did not have shoes. They had sandals or bare feet. And what Jesus is showing us is that he was willing to serve in a way that most, if not all, were not. So what does this look like in today's world? What are other people not willing to do that us as Christians should jump in and do? When presented with opportunities to serve and love people and to sit with people and talk with people, to go and do things for others, Christians should be the first to jump in and do it. Even when it doesn't seem fun or glamorous, even when it seems boring, we should be a community of foot washers, serving each other, serving the world, taking what Christ has done for us and loving the world. Because the heart of the gospel that we are spreading is service, and the motivation is love. This passage today concludes in verse 17. Jesus says, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." I want to focus on those two words that you just filled in real quick. Blessed are you is the first one. You. You are not guaranteed to change the world. You are not, so many of us wait to serve because we're like, oh, what? It's not going to make that much of a difference. I'm not going to be able to change this person's life. I'm not going to be able to change this thing that I wish no longer existed. They're not going to be quite so different. What can I possibly do? But Jesus promises, does not promise that you are going to be ultra successful and you are going to flip the world upside down, but he does promise that you'll be blessed when you serve. And he also says, the second word, you have to be you'll be blessed if you do these things. We can't just hear these things and not do them. For a few years, I was a restaurant manager, and sometimes I would be what's called the closing manager. And whenever an employee was done with their tasks and closing their area, they would come to the office and knock on the door and be like, "Hey, I'm done. Can you come check me out?" And say one time, this never happened, but say one time I went up and was like, "Ooh, you missed a few things. Can you sweep up this area real quick? And also, you missed a spot on the counter. It's a little still a little dirty. And also, grab the silverware from the back and bring that up front." He was like, "Okay, great." And I go back to the office. 10 minutes pass, and I'm like, that should not have taken that long. So I go back out, and none of it's done. And I'm like, "What did I ask you to do?" And he goes, "I remember. You asked me to sweep up that area. You said to wipe up the counter right here on the side where I missed it, and you said to get the silverware from the back. Since I remembered, can I go?" No. And we all know that's silly and that would never happen. But so often we do that with God. We say, "Okay, God, I got it." But we aren't blessed for getting it. We aren't blessed for knowing it. James chapter 1 verse 22 says the same thing. He says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." We aren't blessed for knowing the meaning of the foot washing. We aren't blessed for studying it and knowing the ins and outs and all the whys and whos and whats. We are blessed when we go and do it. I heard an analogy from Francis Chan that I want to close with. He talks about going to a football game. And at this football game, say everyone huddles up at the 50-yard line, and they're about to call a play, and the quarterback calls the play, and the team goes, "And break." And after they say that, they all jog to the sideline, and they sit down. 25 seconds pass, and they all jog back out, and the quarterback gives another play, "Break." And they all run back to the sideline, and they sit back down. 25 seconds pass, and they jog back out, and you would be like, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Why are they just calling a play and then sitting down?" My challenge today is that Jesus has called a play. He said, "This is how I served you. This is how I loved you. Will you go to the sideline, or are you going to step up to the line of scrimmage today?" Let's pray. God, you're so good. Thank you for washing our feet. Thank you for serving us and coming to earth as a man. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for taking the punishment we deserve and then defeating death and sin in the grave. Thank you for giving us your righteousness so we can live with you forever. I pray today as we go, we serve others relentlessly the way that you served us. I pray that no matter what the situation is, that we get beyond ourselves and we serve others the way that you have called us to serve, the example that you set before us. I pray we go and do. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for stooping low and for washing our feet. And hear us now as we pray according to the way you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.